Islamic Revolution Guard Corps has fired ballistic missiles at Syrian bases of the anti-Iran terrorists and a Mossad espionage center in Iraq's Kurdistan region. U.S. Secretary General's call for immediate ceasefire in Gaza, describing the situation there, the humanitarian situation, in the territory as, quote, beyond words. And the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has hailed retaliatory operations in occupied territories as a natural response to the Israeli regime's crimes in Gaza and the West Bank. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps says it's fired missiles at anti-Iranian terrorist groups bases in Syria, as well as an Israeli espionage center in Iraq's Kurdistan region. According to IRGC statements, the first missile strike targeted gathering places and main elements of terror groups involved in recent attacks in Iranian cities of Kerman and Rask. It had a nighttime operation using ballistic missiles destroyed terrorist headquarters in occupied territories of Syria. Operation came after a recent Daesh-claimed terrorist attack in the Iranian city of Kerman killed nearly 100 people. Another IRGC missile barrage targeted one of the main espionage centers used by Israel's Mossad spy agency in the Iraqi Kurdistan region. IRGC said center was used to develop espionage operations and plan acts of terrorism across the region, especially in Iran. IRGC also assured the Iranian nation it will find terror groups wherever they are and punish them. Iran's foreign minister has slammed illegal attacks by the U.S. and U.K. on Yemen as a strategic mistake that will escalate tensions in the region. Hossein Amir Abdullahian was speaking in a phone call with U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres. The Iranian top diplomat stressed Yemen's attacks on Israeli-bound ships in the Red Sea are meant to put a halt to regime's crimes and genocide against civilians in Gaza. He also highlighted Iran's principled stance on protecting and maintaining security of shipping and navigation. Amir Abdullahian once again condemned the Israeli massacre of Palestinians in Gaza, stressing the need to stop the onslaught and send in humanitarian aid to the coastal territory. Guterres, for his part, lauded the role played by Iran in bolstering peace and stability across the region. India's foreign minister is in Tehran on a two-day trip, and this is the top diplomat's first official visit to the country since Iran joined BRICS back in September. Gisu Mishahmadi has more.
Moving way beyond friendly relations and reaching new highs of cooperation. India's foreign minister is in Tehran on his first official visit since Iran became a member of the BRICS group of leading developing countries and emerging economies. With major joint economic projects such as Chabahar Port and the International North-South Transport Corridor already on the table, as Iran's main supporter in joining the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, or SCO, and BRICS, India is now eyeing new opportunities to expand bilateral ties.
Obviously, our bilateral relations are expanding as we increase cooperation according to the agreements that have been signed. However, as partners and member states of the SCO and BRICS, there are new opportunities that both countries can benefit from.
But as the foreign minister continued to explain, these issues did not stop the top diplomats from discussing the recent developments in the region.
The miserable situation of the people in Gaza and the ongoing genocide is something that we're both concerned about, and we both agree that there should be an immediate ceasefire.
The deeply concerning situation in Gaza was naturally a subject of our discussions. The loss of civilian lives, especially that of women and children, was our primary focus. There is a visible humanitarian crisis that needs to be addressed, and the creation of sustainable humanitarian corridors is the need of the day.
Issues that were reiterated during Jaishankar's meeting with Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi.
I'm confident that today's exchanges will give momentum to our bilateral cooperation and also further enhance our understanding of each other's positions on important regional and global issues. India and Iran are two old friends who have always viewed each other's growth and prosperity as contributing to their own.
India and Iran share a millennia-long history of interactions, and today, based on the strength of their cultural and historical ties, their relations continue to grow.
This is the Indian Foreign Minister's first trip to Tehran since Iran joined BRICS in September 2023, a clear sign that both countries are adamant in expanding cooperation in all different levels. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
Israel's pushing ahead with its deadly campaign of bombings and raids in the Gaza Strip. 101 days into the onslaught, regime's latest attacks have claimed the lives of dozens more Palestinians in Gaza. Over 30 civilians were killed during a raid on residential buildings in the early hours of Monday. Another 12 were killed in an attack in eastern Gaza. At least 8 people were killed in artillery shelling in Khan Yunis. Death toll from the ongoing Israeli genocides already surpassed the 24,000 mark. Also, civilian infrastructure in Gaza has sustained extensive damage as a result of the regime's relentless bombing and shelling. Latest figures show nearly 100 schools and universities and more than 140 mosques in Gaza have been completely destroyed, and that's besides the more than 80 hospitals and health centers already out of service. From Inderøy, Norway, author and commentator John Suppling joined us earlier. He explains why Israeli soldiers' crimes against Palestinians go unpunished.
What we've seen since this assault, genocidal assault began, is this obsession on the part of the IDF, soldiers in the IDF, to post things on social media, on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. What they see as mocking the suffering of the Palestinians. We have seen the suffering of the mothers in Gaza made fun of and mocked. So this is just the next stage of escalation, where they're just outright stealing things. Mm-hmm. Any military I can think of in the world would punish soldiers for this kind of behavior. They don't care. I mean, they don't care because they have never had to suffer the repercussions of their criminal behavior. That has not ever happened. And they've been protected and still are protected by the United States. So as to why the military, the officer class doesn't punish and penalize these soldiers, I think, if anything, they probably encourage it, because this is part of this expression of absolute domination that Israel wants to get across.
Military wing of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad has released new footage. It shows targeting and killing an Israeli troop in the besieged Gaza Strip. Video shows Al-Quds, a brigade sniper, shooting a troop in Khan Yunis, south of the regime. The military wing of Hamas also says that fighters targeted a group of Israeli occupation forces in eastern Khan Yunis. Al-Qassam Brigade said the attack left casualties. They also shot dead 5 IOF soldiers in eastern Khan Yunis. Israel so far admitted to the deaths of nearly 190 of its forces in Gaza since the beginning of the regime's ground invasion. Resistance groups in the territory say Israel is underreporting its casualties. According to Israeli media, some 4,000 forces have also suffered injuries since October 7th. Try the case with Samidun, a Palestinian prisoner solidarity network in Canada, says Israel has been unable to achieve its announced goals in Gaza.
The occupation has been unable to break the will of the Palestinian people or destroy the resistance. It has also taken a tremendous human cost from people, because the occupation's attacks have been directed against the civilian population as a whole. They've targeted hospitals, schools, residential buildings, mosques, churches. I mean, the progress of the occupation's attacks And they're very explicit about this. And this, of course, was also brought up before the International Court of Justice in just the past several days in South Africa's case, is that the purpose of these attacks was to cause the greatest damage possible to the Palestinian civilian population. And unfortunately, this comes as no surprise because this has always been the purpose and the goal of the Zionist movement and the Zionist entity in occupied Palestine since 1948 and before. And we're seeing them continue to attempt to carry out the same project of dispossession, displacement, targeting the Palestinian people as a whole that they have been doing for over 75 years with the full support and complicity of the United States, Canada, Germany, Britain, and other European powers, all of which are fully responsible and must be held accountable for this ongoing genocide.
Israel's indiscriminate bombardment of Gaza is claiming not just lives of Palestinians, but captives held by Hamas. The Palestinian Resistance Movement has released video of an Israeli captive detailing the deaths of two other captives in latest Israeli attacks. Video by released by the Al-Qassam Brigade's military wing of Hamas. It follows an earlier footage in which three Israeli captives were speaking in Hebrew, calling on the Israeli regime to secure their release, to end the regime's war on Gaza immediately and get them back to their families. Al-Qassam Brigade said they already warned many of the captives remain in imminent danger and are holding the Tel Aviv regime fully responsible. Nearly 200 people were taken captive during Operation Al-Aqsa Flood on October 7th. Some were released in prisoner swap deals in recent months. The UN Secretary General's call for immediate humanitarian ceasefire in the besieged Gaza Strip, describing the humanitarian situation there as beyond words. Antonio Guterres emphasized an immediate ceasefire is needed to ensure sufficient aid gets to those who need it. He warned that traumatized people of Gaza are now facing a long shadow of starvation. Guterres said vast majority of UN's Palestinian staff have been displaced or killed in more than 3 months of Israeli genocide in Gaza. UN says Israeli onslaughts displace roughly 85% of the territory's population. And they've been forced into crowded shelters and are struggling to get food, water, fuel, and medical care. The Palestinian resistance movement to Hamas has praised retaliatory operations in occupied territories as a natural response to the regime's genocide in the Gaza Strip. The Hamas statement came after two Israeli settlers were killed and 20 others injured in a combined car ramming and stabbing attack in the central city of Ra'anana near Tel Aviv. It added operations are also in response to Israeli crimes against Palestinians in the West Bank. Hamas stressed retaliatory operations will continue against the Nazi Israeli regime. Islamic Jihad also held the operations, calling them a natural response to Israel's crimes as well. Tensions are mounting across the occupied territories over the Israeli genocidal war in Gaza and regime's deadly raids against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. Israeli forces have killed more Palestinians during fresh raids in the occupied West Bank. Regime troops killed two Palestinians, including a woman in the town of Dora, southwest of Al-Khalil. Another Palestinian was shot in Tulkarm. Israeli forces also raided a university in Nablus, arresting 25 students. Meanwhile, hundreds of mourners laid to rest bodies of two Palestinians in the city of Al-Khalil. Another funeral was held for a 17-year-old Palestinian boy killed by regime forces near Ramallah on Sunday. Tensions have been escalating in the occupied West Bank since the beginning of the Israeli bloodshed in Gaza. According to Palestinian Health Ministry, around 350 Palestinians have been killed and nearly 4,000 others injured in Israeli raids across the occupied West Bank. On the 100th day of the Israeli onslaught on Gaza, protests have been held in several cities across Pakistan in solidarity with the Palestinian people. Protesters are demanding the International Court of Justice hold Israel accountable for its war crimes perpetrated against Palestinians in Gaza.
In a powerful display of solidarity and condemnation, thousands of Pakistanis took to the streets in the port city of Karachi to protest against Israeli atrocities in Gaza. The protest, dubbed the Million Man March for Gaza, saw demonstrators from various walks of life voicing their anger at the Israeli regime and demanding an end to the violence that has engulfed the region for weeks.
Demands, first of all, ceasefire immediately. And we demand the freedom of Palestine from the river to the sea. And we demand Israel to be taken into accountability for all the crimes they have committed against the Palestinian nation.
The march witnessed massive turnouts with protesters chanting slogans to condemn the Israeli massacre in Gaza. Simultaneously, civil society activists and Palestinian students studying at Pakistani universities also held protest demonstrations in solidarity with people of Gaza, praising South Africa for taking a bold step by filing a case against Israel at the International Court of Justice.
I think we can all learn from South Africa, the way they have stood up for Palestine when no other country stood by them. We are so proud of South Africa, and I feel that our government can learn from them. If we want to, we can really make a difference. We can join the petition.
South Africa, I could not even think would come into and having this whole thing taken up by them. It should have been Saudi Arabia. It should have been UAE. It should have been Jordan. It would have been other Muslim countries. But the leaders are just watching. They're just watching, you know, and they're not doing anything.
The protesters called on other nations to support South Africa's initiative and urged the International Court of Justice to conduct a thorough investigation into alleged atrocities committed by Israeli forces in Gaza.
The demonstrations for Gaza highlight a widespread sentiment among Pakistanis against unwavering support from the U.S. and its Western allies for Israel's actions in the region. These marches provide a platform for Pakistanis to vocally condemn Israeli forces for their atrocities against Palestinian population. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Thanks for tuning in. And bye-bye for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Western hegemonic entities led by the United States and the United Kingdom have recently attacked Yemen in a theatrical show of force to satisfy their power, lust, and pretend that they are still in control of the world. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV noted, it is important to note that Western hegemony is the biggest evil the world has ever seen, and it is on full display again today, as Americans and its allies continue to not only embolden the Zionist regime, but militarily support it amid the genocide in Gaza. The evilness of these arrogant powers is again on display as countries that have unapologetically declared their support for people in the besieged Gaza Strip are being bombarded in the darkness of night. It is important to note that Yemen, unlike many other Arab countries, has been blocking Israeli-linked ships in the Red Sea to end the regime's genocidal war on Gaza and the inhumane blockade of the small territory. These heroic actions of the Yemeni military are supported by the overwhelming majority of countries. They also enjoy the full backing of the people of Yemen, as evidenced by massive protests and rallies in major Yemeni cities in recent weeks. The arrogant powers that attacked Yemen recently are responsible for more than 75 years of illegal occupation of Palestine. They are responsible for what's unfolding in Gaza and the occupied West Bank. These are the countries that supply money, weapons, and diplomatic cover for the Zionist occupation of Palestine. They are actively promoting genocide, ethnic cleansing, racism, apartheid, cruel dehumanization, and extreme barbarism in occupied Palestine. The Western hegemonic powers and their Zionist ally have faced the disgraceful defeat in Gaza in the face of the bravery, courage, resilience, and the steadfastness of Hamas and other Palestinian resistance groups. After almost 100 days of war on the Gaza Strip, the Zionist entity, with its more than 500,000 troops and all the sophisticated weapons, failed to record a single achievement despite the industrial-scale massacres of innocent civilians, of which the majority are women and children. This is the main reason why the American-British Zionist Axis of Evil decided to attack Yemen to deflect attention from their monumental failures in Gaza and put a blanket on the heinous crimes against humanity they have been perpetuating against the Gazans. More than 23,000 Palestinians have been killed since October 7th, including more than 12,000 children and more than 7,000 women, according to rights group. One thing is for certain. The bombing of Sana'a, Hodeidah, and Sa'deh by Washington and London recently will not stop the heroic people of Yemen from standing with Palestine and practically opposing the genocide in Gaza. The Yemeni military will definitely respond to these attacks. Yemen is not new to such aggression, as this honorable nation survived more than 7 years of bombings by the American-orchestrated Arab coalition. Only Iran stood by Yemen at its difficult hour. The amount of mainstream media hype the American-British coalition generated for its strike on Yemen is a pretty strong indicator that it is intended as a theater, a futile attempt to restore deterrence. Actual military strikes with military objectives aren't typically broadcast hours in advance, and that is exactly what this Western imperialist gang did. The vital element of surprise was absolutely absent here. It is noteworthy that American and British decisions to forego the element of surprise in executing strikes allow for precautionary measures that minimize losses, thereby trying to avoid significant escalation. bombings of empty stores and warehouses cannot stop the resolve of the people of Yemen to support the oppressed people of Palestine. History has proven that the people of Yemen cannot be intimidated by imperialist powers. And the dream of reenacting the American era of arrogance and domination will remain a dream forever. With these attacks, Western hegemony has endangered the vital shipping of the Bab el-Mandab waterway of the Red Sea. This is a defining moment of world history, and the heroic people of Yemen have decided to stand against the most evil regimes. They have the world's support, as the world will be a better place without the U.S. imperialism, arrogance, and terrorism.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone, and our heartfelt condolences to all on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali al-Naghi al-Hadi, peace be upon him, the 10th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Let us now listen to a thought-provoking aphorism from him. Allah has made this world for trial and tribulation, while He has made afterlife for receiving the result. He has also made the misfortunes of this world the cause of gaining the rewards of the hereafter, and made the rewards of life to come as the compensation for the misfortunes of this world.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, modesty. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Appropriate modesty is a morality encouraged by religion. The Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has said, "May Allah bestow His mercy on him who is modest to the Lord, and he must be who keeps both his mind and stomach safe from sin, who remembers his being worn out in his grave, and he who reminds himself of being raised in the hereafter." Modesty is of two kinds, the Prophet of Allah says. The modesty of wisdom, which brings knowledge, and the modesty of foolishness, which brings ignorance. Modesty sometimes results in ignorance. That type of modesty must be avoided. For example, if you have a question in mind and you don't ask it from a knowledgeable person, this modesty will result in ignorance. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the commander of the faithful, said, "Impudence is the head of all evils. Impudence is the opposite of modesty and must be avoided by the believers. Modesty is a trait that if one carries it with themselves, they are respected in both the worlds. It's not just about the hereafter. Even in this world, people who are modest, they deserve that respect and they receive that respect from their surroundings, from their friends, from their companions. So modesty is a trait in the Islamic moral system and ethical system of Islam, which is incumbent not just on women, but men also. If you're modest, you will get the reward of it." Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing the topic of modesty, and Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, the fourth divinely appointed Imam, has said, "A believer does not do any good thing to be seen, nor does he give it up for modesty." So apparently there are two extremes. One is that you perform something, so you're showing it off. And then there's another time that out of modesty, you refrain from doing a good act that you're able to do. You know, sometimes we don't do a good thing thinking that we are being modest. This is the wrong understanding of the concept of modesty. In Islam, you know, modesty is not defined like this. And at times we waste our good actions because we do it to show off. The fine line has to be considered very carefully. The fifth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, said, "Modesty and faith are tied up together. They are always to be found together." Similarly, the sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, has said, "Modesty is a sign of faith, and faith takes you to paradise. There is no faith for him who has no modesty. The head of morality is modesty. Do not abstain from learning because of modesty." And lastly, Imam Musa al-Qasim alayhi salam, the seventh divinely appointed Imam, has said, "Surely Allah has forbidden paradise to him who is impudent and abusive, who has no modesty, who cares neither about what he says nor about what is said on him." So brothers and sisters, remember, modesty is a very important moral trait in Islam, and it is something which decorates a mu'min and a believer.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Fires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
We'll be right back.
The International Court of Justice in The Hague has held this hearing to consider its provisional measures on a lawsuit filed by South Africa against the Israeli genocide in the Gaza Strip. The case sets a precedent as the first at the ICJ relating to the siege on the Gaza Strip, where thousands of people have been killed since October 7. Pretoria accuses Israel of committing genocide in contravention of the 1948 UN Genocide Convention, which both South Africa and the regime are party to. South Africa alleges that the killing of civilians in large numbers, especially children, the expulsion and displacement of Palestinians en masse, and the destruction of their homes, then citing statements by several Israeli officials portraying Palestinians as subhumans.
Israel's conduct violates Articles 2A, 2B, 2C, and 2D of the Convention. The first genocidal act committed by Israel is the mass killing of Palestinians in Gaza, in violation of Article 2A of the Genocide Convention.
It's an application that's split into two sections. One is the intent to commit genocide, and the second bit deals here with the actual acts of genocide. And many of international legal scholars and others have indicated that it's very difficult for Israel to effectively answer to these cases without having to concede that their actions are indeed in violation of the Geneva Conventions.
To be collectively punished, all constitute genocide and show proof of intent. Evidence submitted by South Africa says acts and omissions by Israel are genocidal in character because they are intended to bring about the destruction of a substantial part of the Palestinian national, racial, and ethnic group. This refers both to what Israel is actively doing, such as carrying out airstrikes, and what it is failing to do, such as preventing harm to civilians.
Gaza, which is one of the most densely populated places in the world, is home to approximately 2.3 million Palestinians, almost half of them children. For the past 96 days, Israel has subjected Gaza to what has been described as one of the heaviest conventional bombing campaigns in the history of modern warfare. Palestinians in Gaza are being killed by Israeli weaponry and bombs from air, land, and sea.
The suit also lists the blockade on food and the destruction of essential health services for pregnant women and babies as measures by Tel Aviv intended to bring about their destruction as a group. The Organization of Islamic Countries, the Arab League, Iran, Bolivia, Colombia, and Brazil, and a number of other countries have also supported South Africa's decision to file the case against Israel. Iran has urged international bodies and agencies, including the UN Security Council, to adopt immediate and practical steps aimed at complete cessation of Israeli military strikes in Gaza.
For people of my age, we were brought up in the struggle against apartheid in South Africa, and to see them leading the charge against Israel was really poignant. So there's a lot riding on this. Obviously, the lives and well-being of people in Gaza, first and foremost, but international law itself is on trial here, and I think the court has to know that.
A separate case is continuing at the International Criminal Court. Both courts are located in The Hague, Netherlands. While the purpose of the ICJ is to resolve conflicts between political regimes, the ICC prosecutes individuals for committing crimes.
This could be a turning point. This could be a moment where the world rises up in one voice and says in very emphatic term that is supposed to embody justice and equality and the rule of law, that these actions by Israel amounts to genocide, torture, and something that we have not witnessed, I think, really in the history of mankind.
Under international law, genocide is defined as committing one or more acts with the intention to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group.
There is also the clear pattern of conduct, the targeting of family homes and civilian infrastructure, laying waste to vast areas of Gaza, and the bombing, shelling, and sniping of men, women, and children where they stand, the destruction of the health infrastructure, and lack of access to humanitarian assistance.
The gruesome scenes of death and destruction in Gaza are a reminder that for Israel, violence is not incidental, accidental, or coincidental. It is part and parcel of its colonial policies. For decades, Israel has used disproportionate force and has carried out countless massacres against Palestinian civilians as a form of revenge and punishment. Most of Gaza's 2.3 million people have also been displaced since October 7, with aid agencies warning of famine risk amid mounting hunger. The 365 square kilometer territory.
Israel's conduct has been deliberately calculated to cause widespread hunger, dehydration, and starvation. Israel's campaign has pushed Gazans to the brink of famine. An unprecedented 93% of the population in Gaza is facing crisis levels of hunger. But removing the ability to distribute it through constant
has already been under an Israeli blockade since 2007. Recent UN General Assembly votes show that most of the international community is appalled by Israel's brutalization of Gaza, yet appears unable to act. Throughout the past decades, Israel has controlled the Palestinian territories in part to colonize them through hundreds of illegal settlements on stolen Palestinian lands, in part to hold their population hostage until their leaders accept its political dictates. The Israeli oppression of Palestinians had already witnessed a sharp rise under Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's extremist coalition cabinet, which is composed of far-right Zionist parties that oppose Palestinian statehood and support the expansion of settlements in the occupied lands. Hunger has become the most pressing of the myriad problems facing hundreds of thousands of displaced Gaza Palestinians, with aid trucks able to bring in only a small fraction of what is needed, and distribution uneven due to the chaos of the war. The Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor, a Geneva-based rights group, has found that 71% of people in the Gaza Strip suffer from extreme hunger due to Israel's devastating war on the Palestinian territory and the regime's method of using starvation as a weapon. The group released the figure after it conducted an analytical study of a sample of 1,200 people in Gaza. According to the study's findings, 98% of respondents said that they eat insufficient amounts of food, while 64% of the participants admitted to eating grass, immature food, and expired materials to satiate their hunger.
All 2.2 million people are hungry, meaning that they are in crisis or worse food security situation.
More than 130,000 of Gaza's most vulnerable children, that is newborns up to 2 years of age, are not receiving the critical life-saving breastfeeding or age-appropriate complementary feeding that they absolutely require. So that's our scenario. Without sufficient safe water, food and sanitation that only a humanitarian ceasefire would bring, child deaths due to disease could well surpass those already killed in bombardments.
The study found that the rate of access to water in the Gaza Strip, including drinking, bathing and cleaning water, is 1.5 liters per person per day. This is 15 liters less than the minimum amount of water required for survival at the level required by international standards. Additionally, the study examined the effects of malnutrition and a lack of access to clean drinking water. 66% of the study sample reported having experienced diarrhea, skin rashes, or intestinal diseases in the past month. Even in Rafah, which has a crossing to Egypt through which aid trucks enter, the dearth of food and clean water is so severe it is causing people to get ill.
The contaminated water is another issue, as the water is not 100% clean, so children and adults suffer from intestinal problems such as vomiting and diarrhea. So I ran out of antidiarrheal medications, Flagyl medicines, which is an intestinal disinfectant, and Silabrin, which is antibiotics for intestinal infections. There's a significant loss of these drugs.
Since the start of its genocide in Gaza, Israel has imposed a comprehensive blockade on the Strip and prevented supplies of food, water, fuel, and other humanitarian necessities from reaching the more than 2.3 million residents of the Strip. Israel's use of starvation as a weapon has intensified since October 7 and has included cutting off all food supplies to Gazans, as well as bombing and destroying the Strip's bakeries, factories, food stores.
We were compelled to come here as there are no bakeries available. The people here who are our friends are baking bread to aid the community. Procuring flour is challenging for us, as a 20-kilogram bag costs around 300 to 400 shekels, which is a substantial amount.
About 577,000, meaning more than 500,000 people, are already in catastrophic levels of hunger, meaning they're essentially starving. That is like one in every four people.
Speeches and statements from Israeli officials promoting a campaign to deliberately block access to necessary resources for the Gaza population as a strategy indicate that Israel has not made these intentions a secret. The Israeli blockade, on top of the genocidal aggression, has plunged Gaza into humanitarian catastrophe, where lack of access to sanitation and safe water has increased the prevalence of waterborne diseases. The Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court says that intentionally starving civilians by, quote, depriving them of objects indispensable to their survival, including willfully impeding relief supplies, is a war crime.
The people in the hospitals, yes, they need everything. They need medical supplies, but what they ask for first is food and water, the very basics. They do not have them. One of my colleagues described people lying on the floor in severe pain, in agony, but they weren't asking for pain relief, they were asking for water.
The plight of Gaza's 2.3 million people has become desperate amid the war. Around 80% of Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip have been displaced by the violence, while efforts to get aid into the territory have struggled. Alarmed humanitarian organizations have been calling for a ceasefire and denouncing the shocking cost of the catastrophic war, which amounts to a collective punishment of the civilian population of Gaza.
We are homeless. We can't go back to our houses. I want to see my children. I want to go back to my husband and to my house. It's unfair. It's so unfair.
The World Health Organization has once again sounded the alarm on deepening humanitarian and medical crisis in war-torn Gaza. It has called on the international community to take urgent steps to alleviate the grave peril facing Palestinians in the besieged territory. According to the latest WHO assessments, Gaza has 13 partially functioning hospitals, 2 minimally functioning ones, and 21 that are not functioning at all.
There are actually no functional hospitals left in the north. Al-Ahli was the last one, but is now minimal functional. And still treating patients but not admitting new ones, along with Al-Shifa, Al-Ada, and Al-Sahaba Hospital. So these hospitals are still sheltering also thousands of displaced people. At Al-Ahli, about 10 staff, all junior doctors and nurses, continue to provide basic first aid, pain management, as much as possible, wound care, and trauma stabilization services.
The Nasser Medical Complex, which is the most important referral hospital in southern Gaza, is partially functioning. The world body has expressed concern about reports of residential areas being ordered to evacuate around the hospital, which are extremely concerning. According to WHO reports and eyewitness accounts, when military activities intensify near the hospital, ambulances, patients, staff, and WHO and partners are unable to reach the complex. The world body has also said that it is working to strengthen and expand the existing struggling health system.
WHO will keep striving to supply health facilities in the northern Gaza, but without fuel, staff, and other essential needs, medicines, medicines won't make a difference, and all patients will die slowly and painfully.
It has also expressed concern about the fresh wave of displacement of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip who have been pushed by Israel to move to further south. It says the displacement of people will further strain health facilities in the south, which are already struggling to meet the population's immense needs. The WHO statement read, "This forced mass movement of people will also lead to more overcrowding, increased risk of infectious diseases, and make it even harder to deliver humanitarian aid. Most of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip are grappling with terrible injuries, acute hunger, and severe risk of disease." WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom has also repeated a call on the international community to, quote, take urgent steps to alleviate the grave peril facing the population of Gaza. The remarks come a day after the WHO staff went on a high-risk mission to deliver humanitarian supplies to the Al-Shifa Hospital in northern Gaza and Al-Amal Palestine Red Crescent Society in southern Gaza. Both hospitals serve as shelters for displaced Palestinians seeking safety amid relentless Israeli bombardment. At Al-Shifa Hospital, a reported 50,000 people are sheltering, while 14,000 others are at Al-Amal.
Seeing children, women, young men, old men and women, people bleeding out. I, at the same time yesterday at Al-Aqsa, I saw a woman who had multiple gunshot wounds. An attempt was made to refer her, and she was referred back because she was bleeding so heavily. So, I mean, there's blood everywhere in these hospitals at the moment. We're seeing almost only trauma cases come through the door, and at a scale that's quite difficult to believe. It's a bloodbath, as we said before. It's carnage.
They have been injured and have been in the hospital for 10 days. As soon as the Israeli troops withdrew, I rushed to take them. As you can see, they suffer from total burns for no reason. They were left with no food or water and no care. There are other injured members of my family, but I wasn't able to carry them. After I arrived at the hospital, I witnessed massive destruction, an indescribable scene. Patients are scattered in every corner, beds are overturned, and medical material are damaged.
Comments come as Israel is pressing ahead with its genocidal war on the Gaza Strip. From corpses lying unattended on the streets, to hospitals and schools reduced to rubble, to children made orphans and tens of thousands of people rendered homeless, the gory events unfolding in the besieged Gaza Strip since October 7 are a textbook example of genocide and ethnic cleansing. The death toll in the coastal territory since the Israeli regime launched its indiscriminate aerial and ground attacks nearly 3 months ago is now over 21,000, most of them children and women. Almost all refugee camps have been rendered uninhabitable due to random strikes, forcing the majority of the population to sleep under the open sky amid heavy winds and heavy downpours. The barbaric attacks were only meant to give an image of victory to its defeated army, which has only succeeded in killing unarmed civilians and destroying civilian facilities.
This is really the worst thing that U.S. and Israel could do to Palestinians. The genocide is the heinous war crimes are gone unnoticed.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The United Nations is saying the Israeli regime is staining humanity with its devastating war on the Gaza Strip. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. On the eve of the 100th day of Israel's genocidal war in Gaza, the United Nations has called the Israeli regime's brutal onslaught on the besieged Palestinian territory as a stain on humanity. Philip Lazzarini, who heads the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, made the remark in a statement on Saturday, 13th of January. The massive death, destruction, displacement, hunger, loss and grief of the last 100 days are staining our shared humanity, he said. The relentless Israeli military campaign against Gaza began on 7th of October following an operation by the territory's resistance movements dubbed Operation Al-Aqsa Storm. Israel's genocidal war has so far killed at least 23,843 people, many of them women and children, while 60,317 others have been wounded. The Israeli regime has also cut off the flow of basic supplies such as water, electricity, medicine and fuel to one of the world's most densely populated territories that houses over 2 million Palestinians. The crisis in Gaza is a man-made disaster compounded by dehumanizing language and the use of food, water and fuel as instruments of war, Philip Lazzarini said. In the past 100 days, sustained bombardment across the Gaza Strip caused a mass displacement of a population that is in a state of flux, constantly uprooted and forced to leave overnight, only to move to places which are just as unsafe, the United Nations official emphasized. The Israeli onslaught has brought about the largest displacement of Palestinians since 1948, with Lazzarini referencing the year where the Israeli regime rendered some 700 Palestinians homeless. The war has left a vast majority of Gaza's population, including children, deeply traumatized. According to Philip Lazzarini, the head of UNRWA, the plight of children in Gaza is especially heartbreaking. An entire generation of children is traumatized and will take years to heal. Lazzarini added, thousands have been killed, maimed and orphaned. Hundreds of thousands are deprived of their education. Their future is in jeopardy, with far-reaching and long-lasting consequences. Elsewhere in his remarks, Philip Lazzarini said implementation of humanitarian operations across the coastal territory has fast become one of the most complex and challenging in the world. Citing the main impediments that complicate the conduct of relief operations in Gaza, Lazzarini referred to the cumbersome procedures that the Israeli regime has imposed on the entry of humanitarian supplies into the Gaza Strip, and a myriad of obstacles that face safe and orderly distribution of aid in the territory. Meanwhile, Iran's permanent ambassador to the United Nations has said a series of missile strikes carried out by United States and Britain on Yemen amounts to a declaration of war against the Arab country. Amir Saeed Irabani, Iran's permanent ambassador to the United Nations, said the actions by the United States and Britain in attacking Yemen constitute a flagrant violation of national sovereignty, a breach of international law, and a transgression of the United Nations Charter. Irabani added, compelling evidence suggests that Tel Aviv regime has effectively maneuvered to involve the United States in these conflicts, aligning with its own interests. Irabani added that the joint military aggression by United States and Britain exposed the so-called success of the Israeli regime's lobbying in Washington to draw the United States into a direct war and exacerbate the spillover of hostilities to other parts of the region. On Friday, 12th of January, US and British warplanes targeted five regions of Yemen with 73 missiles, including Yemen's capital Sana'a, killing at least five people and wounding six others. Also, the European Union's foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, says Europe has been kept in the dark over the scale of the tragedy in the Gaza Strip, as many journalists have either died or not been able to access the territory because of incessant Israeli attacks. Josep Borrell, in an opinion piece published on EU's website on Saturday, 13th of January, said, "The absolutely tragic situation experienced by the civilian population in Gaza is unfortunately not always sufficiently known in Europe, not least because Western journalists do not have access to the enclave and many Palestinian journalists have lost their lives." In an article, the EU diplomat Josep Borrell urged members of the bloc to unite and push for a solution to the conflict in Gaza where the Israeli regime has killed nearly 24,000 Palestinians.